Hare Krishna. So, just before the break, we saw Kapiladev describing about the qualifications of, not qualifications, or who is disqualified from directly receiving this knowledge. But we also saw what it actually means. It means that one should not give the knowledge without creating the patrata. One should make them qualified to receive that knowledge and actually should give that knowledge. So both constitutes preaching. Sometimes to some people we may have to really work hard to create the patrata and then give knowledge. It's quite time consuming. Sometimes we may get a person whose patrata is almost ready, just little bit of curing, and then you know you may immediately start giving. So all of it constitutes preaching. Sometimes creating the patrata for a long time in one person or a few people also constitutes preaching. Like especially when you preach in, like for example, if you see the life of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj also, while he was preaching in India and the United States, Radha Damodar Bus Party, you know, devotees were, very easily he could make devotees. But then he was sent to China by Prabhupada. It was not a different Tamal Krishna Goswami who went to China. It was the same Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj only. But it was not easy. He had to do lot of groundwork to actually make a few handful of devotees. Who are quite sincere now, but it wasn't easy at all. The same, you know, in other countries where it's quite different there, you know, lot of groundwork had to be done to actually create that patrata before the knowledge could be given. So it's quite different. So he didn't leave it and come telling, oh, people don't take up to Krishna consciousness here. But because Prabhupada instructed him to go there and preach, he stayed there, you know, created the ground, and now people are taking up to it. So that's something, you know. Even once His Holiness Umapati Swami Maharaj had come, and he was sharing that how, you know, as a sannyasi also, preaching in China, it was still, you know, direct preaching is not allowed there. You know, how he had to, you know, he had to have a work visa there. So he had to work. So he used to work, and then in the evenings, he could, so that he could preach in the evenings and stay there in China. So that's what he used to do. You know, take a bicycle in the morning, wear plain clothes, go work, and in the evening inside the house, you know, change to his sannyasi clothes and then preach like that. So it's not quite easy, and most of the preaching might go in actually creating Sukriti, which might eventually evolve into Shraddha at some later point. So depending on the kind of people we get, sometimes we may get almost ready-made people, and you know you may not have to do much, very little, and they are ready, and then you directly start giving them knowledge. That is one kind of preaching. But there are other kinds of preaching where, you know, lot of time goes in just creating the Sukriti, which may fructify at a much later point also, like that. So Kapiladev, in the previous section, he mentioned about those class of people who should not be directly given this knowledge. And we saw from Shri Vishnu Chakra Thakur's comment in this context that you should not give knowledge, but you can always give them Shraddha in the form of opportunity to get Agyata Sukriti, like that. Then, who are the people with whom you should share this knowledge? That he describes in the next two verses. Shraddha Danaya Bhaktaya Vinitaya Anasuyave Bhute Shukrita Maitraya Shushrushabirataya Cha Bahirjata Viragaya Shanta Chittaya Diyatam Nirmatsaraya Shuchaye Yasya Hampreya Sampriyaha. So, according to this description, so this Bhaktivedanta hall seems to be the best place to discuss this subject matter. So he says, one should teach this to devotees having faith, Shraddha Danaya Bhaktaya, Vinitaya, to those with proper conduct, Anasuyave, to those without hatred for any living being, Bhuteshu Krita Maitraya, who are friendly to all beings, Shushrusha Abhirataya, those who are eager to serve, Bahir Jata Viragaya, those who are detached from external objects, Shanta Chittaya, to those with peaceful minds, Nirmatsaraya, to those who are unselfish, Shuchaye, to those who are pure, Yasya Aham Preyasam Priyaha, and to those for whom I am the most dear among all dear things, which means to devotees, pure devotees. So he says that this subject matter is meant to be discussed with such people. And to others, you make them very favorable to accept it eventually, like that. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the beginning, no one can be elevated to the highest stage of devotional service. Here, bhakta means one who does not hesitate to accept the reformatory process for becoming a bhakta. It's a very interesting definition given by Prabhupada. He says, here, a bhakta means one who does not hesitate to accept the reformatory processes for becoming a bhakta, which means who has received the Shraddha. It may not be he may not be bhakta of the highest caliber, devotional caliber, but nevertheless, if he has received the seed of pure devotional service and is willing to reform himself under the guidance of a devotee, yenye cha papa yadapa shreya shreyah. What is that other verse where he says, not Kirata Hunandra, the other one. Yad yadbhuta krama parayana shila shikshas. Tevai vidantyatitaranti cha deva mayam. Stri shudra huna shabara apipapa jiva. Yad yadbhuta krama parayana shila shikshas. Tiryak janapikim o shrutadaranai. So one should be willing to receive that shila shiksha. As Prabhupada writes here, one who does not hesitate to accept the reformatory processes for becoming a bhakta. In order to become a devotee of the Lord, one has to accept a spiritual master and inquire from him about how to progress in devotional service. To serve a devotee, to chant the holy name according to a certain counting method, to worship the deity, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita from a realized person, and to live in a sacred place where devotional service is not disturbed, are the first out of the 64 devotional activities for making progress in devotional service. One who has accepted these five chief activities is called a devotee. So this is the definition of a devotee, which means one who has accepted these five. As Prabhupada writes, the five most potent forms of devotional service. one must be prepared to offer the necessary respect and honor to the spiritual master. He should not be unnecessarily envious of his god brothers. Rather, if a god brother is more enlightened and advanced in Krishna consciousness, one should accept him as almost equal to the spiritual master, and one should be happy to see such god brothers advance in Krishna consciousness. A devotee should always be very kind to the general public in instructing Krishna consciousness, because that is the only solution for getting out of the clutches of Maya. That is really humanitarian work, for it is the way to show mercy to other people who need it very badly. And so on. Prabhupada further clarifies, explains each one of these terminologies, what it means. So, among such people, these subject matters should be very, should be discussed. And not just, you know, come together and say, how are you doing, and is everything alright? Yeah, that's very important. But if you have little more time, you know, we should sit together and discuss Krishna Katha. So then he continues or concludes the chapter with this verse. Yayidam shrunuyadamba shraddaya purushas sakrit yo vabidatte machitta sahyeti padavim chame. This is the last teaching, last verse of the discussion between Mother Devahuti and, not the discussion, instructions of Kapila Dev to Mother Devahuti. He says, my dear mother, yaha purushaha idam shrunuyad, that person who hears this topic, shraddaya, with faith, sakrit, even once, if he has heard this topic with faith once, yahava abhidatte, or one who utters this topic once with faith, mat chittaha, while concentrating his mind on me, saha, he, eti padavim chame, that person certainly attains the place where my lotus feet rest. So this is the phalashruti of hearing the teachings of Lord Kapila, which we have heard in the past two visits. You know, 8th chapter we are ending now, and the last 9th chapter we will start now. So he says that one who hears this topic once with faith, or one who utters this topic while concentrating his mind on me, certainly he attains the place where my feet rest. Nothing less than that. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 3rd canto, 32nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Entanglement in Fruitive Activities. So now we will start the 33rd chapter, the last chapter of this canto, and see how far we can get. So this chapter is titled Activities of Kapila, or as Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur titles, Departure of Kapila. So Maitreya takes this discussion forward. So it is Maitreya who is narrating about the discussion between Kapila and Devahuti to Vidura. So Maitreya says, एवं निशम्य कपिलस्य वचो जनित्री साकर्दमस्य दयिता किल देवहूति विस्रस्तमोहपटला तमभिप्रणम्य तुष्टावतत्वविषयांकित सिद्धिभूमिम्. देवहूति जनित्री, द मदर ऑफ मदर, द मदर ऑफ कपिलदेव, कर्दमस्य दयिता एंड द डियर वाइफ ऑफ कर्दम मुनि, एवं निशम्य कपिलस्य वचः, thus hearing the words of Kapila Dev, visrasta moha patala, she became free of ignorance concerning bhakti, jnana and yoga. So what is bhakti, what is the path of jnana, what is the path of yoga, whom is the path of bhakti meant for, whom is the path of jnana and yoga meant for, and all these details, what does one attain, what is the highest thing that one can attain by practice of bhakti, what is the highest thing that one can attain by the process of yoga and jnana, what constitutes the practice of jnana, what constitutes the practice of yoga, what constitutes the practice of bhakti, all these things, sambandha abhideya prayojana, everything has been clearly explained by Kapila Dev to Mother Devahuti. Therefore she addresses him as Yoga Bhaskara. You are like the sun which reveals the true natures of jnana, yoga and bhakti, like that. So she became free of ignorance concerning bhakti, jnana and yoga. Tam abhipranamya tushtava, she offered respects to Lord Kapila and satisfied him. And who is this Kapila Dev? Tattva Vishayankita. He is the compiler of the knowledge concerning bhakti, jnana and yoga. And Siddhi Bhumim. And he is the giver of perfection to men on this earth. Like that. So Maitreya says that Mother Devahuti, being freed from ignorance concerning the spiritual paths, she offered respects to Lord Kapila Dev and pleased him. Like that. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport. The system of philosophy enunciated by Lord Kapila before his mother is the background for situation on the spiritual platform. The specific significance of the system of philosophy is stated herein as Siddhi Bhumim. It is the background of salvation. People who are suffering in this material world because they are conditioned by the material energy can easily get freedom from the clutches of matter by understanding the Sankhya philosophy enunciated by Lord Kapila. So she speaks to Kapila Dev. Devahutira uvacha atapya jontas salileshayanam Bhutendriyatma mayam Bhutendriyartatma mayam vapuste Gunapravaham sadashesha bijam Dadyau swayam yad jatarab jajataha. So he says, Devahuti says, addressing Kapila Dev, Ajaha api, even Lord Brahma yad jatarab jajataha, who was born from the lotus emanating from your navel, dadyau swayam te vapuhu. Even Brahmaji could only meditate on your form within his mind, but he could not see that form. She is very gratefully acknowledging the great fortune that she has received in the form of her son. So she says, where is Brahmaji? Where am I? In fact, Kardam Muni expressed the same sentiment in the 24th chapter to Kapila Dev. So now, 10 chapters later, Mother Devahuti is expressing the very same sentiment to Kapila Dev. Where is Brahmaji? And who am I? So Brahmaji, who is directly born from your navel, which means he is almost like your son, he could only see you through meditation, not directly. Dadyau swayam te vapuhu antashalile salile shayanam. He could meditate on your form. On which form? On that form which lies down in the Garbhodaka ocean. He could only meditate on that form. Bhutendriya artha atmamayam, which is composed of spiritual elements, spiritual sense objects and spiritual senses. Guna pravaham, and which is endowed with all good qualities. Sad ashesha bijam, and it is the source of unlimited real universes. Ashesha, unlimited. Bijam, the seed of or the fountain head of sad. Sad means real. So sad ashesha bijam can also refer to the various incarnations also. They are also sad and they are also asa, ashesha. and the bijam, the source of all that in this material universe, is sometimes considered to be Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, sometimes Shivodaka Sai Vishnu. So Mother Devahuti says that how come I have become more fortunate than even Brahmaji? He got to see your form only through meditation, but I got to personally serve this form. What to speak of seeing? So she is expressing her gratitude to Kapiladev. So Srila Vishwanatha Thakur comments here. He says, it is not astonishing that you teach me and deliver me from samsara. However, what is most astonishing is that you, the Supreme Lord of unlimited universes, took birth from me, a low human being. I am astonished. Even Brahma couldn't see you at first. He only meditated upon your form as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Like that, she is expressing her astonishment and gratitude to Kapiladev. Srila Prabhupada writes here, although Brahma was directly born from you, he still has to perform many years of meditation, and even then he cannot see you directly face to face. Your body is lying within the vast water at the bottom of the universe, and thus you are known as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Devahuti said, you are the background of the material manifestation and all created energy. Therefore, you are delivering me from the clutches of Maya by explaining the system of Sankhya philosophy is not so astonishing. In a moment, you can deliver universes. So I am not astonished that you have delivered me. But your being born from my abdomen is certainly wonderful. Because although you are the source of all creation, you have so kindly taken birth as my child. So again here, Mother Devahuti is astonished because she knows that this is the same person from whose bodily pores all material universes emanate, and she also knows as true that it is that his appearance from my womb is also real. It's not a show. So therefore she is astonished. I am not astonished that you have removed my ignorance. Now what is the big deal for you? But I am astonished that you, the source of unlimited universes, you have appeared from my womb, an ordinary person like this. So that's what she is very astonished. She is expressing her astonishment. That is most wonderful. Your body is the source of all the universe, and still you put your body within the abdomen of a common woman like me. To me that is most astonishing. Like that, Mother Devahuti is very gratefully expressing her astonishment to Kapiladev. Then she continues, Saeva Vishvasya Bhavan Vidatte Guna Pravahena Vibhakta Viryah Sargadyaniho Vitata Abhisandir Atmeshwaro Tarkya Sahasra Shaktihi. So she says, Bhavan Vidatte, you distribute Vishvasya Sargadi Viryah, your powers of creation, maintenance and destruction, guna pravahena vibhakta, by dividing them up according to the gunas. Through mode of goodness, you maintain, through mode of passion, you create, and through mode of ignorance, you destroy. Anihaha, you are without material activities, or you are without any desire to perform material activities. Avitata abhisandhihi, your desires are never unfulfilled. Your satya sankalpa, whatever you desire, automatically happens. Atmeshwaraha, you are the lord of all the jivas. Atarkya sahasra shaktihi, you are the possessor of unlimited, inconceivable energies. In this way, you carry out your activities. So, she is indicating, it's not that you have no better job to do. you conduct unlimited number of universes, create, maintain, destroy them. And in order to accomplish anything, all you need to do is to desire. So, to give me knowledge, if you had just desired, I would have received that knowledge. What to speak of knowledge, liberation, everything, just by your desire it can happen. So that's why I'm wondering, why did you have to personally appear from my womb? So she's really very grateful and establishing and expressing her grateful astonishment of Kapiladev having appeared from her womb like that. Let's continue. Sattvam mrito me jatarena nata katam nu yasyo darayeta dasit vishvam yugante vatapatrayeka shetesma maya shishurangripanah. O nata, O Lord, katam nu tvam yasya udare etad vishvam asit. Yeah, it's there at the back of the book, you know, that photo of Mother Devahuti. She's not seeing him as that person, but she knows that it is that same Vatapatra Shai. Katam nutvam, how are you? Yasya udare yetad vishwamasit. How is it that you, being the same person in whose belly all the universes rest, me jatarena brutaha, how is it that you are held within my womb? Maya shishuhu. Maya need not always refer to illusion. Maya also means mercy. As in sambhavami atma mayaya. Ajopisan navyayatma bhutanamishwaropisan. Prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. As Krishna says. There also the word maya refers to mercy. So may a maya shishu, as a merciful baby, yekaha shetesma, you lie alone, vatapatra, on a banyan leaf, angripanaha, while sucking your toe, yugante, at the end of the yuga. So she is, because she has natural vatsalya, it is natural for her to meditate on her, on Kapiladev as Vatapatra Shai, like that. So here Srila Vishnachakra Thakur commenting on this says, how could you be held in the womb of a person like me? I am just a human being. You alone should explain this astonishing cause. So Kapiladev may say, what are you talking about? I am your child. It's true. True, you are a child. As a baby, you sleeping on a banyan leaf at the time of destruction. So, now I don't deny, you are definitely a child. You know, you are the same person sleeping on that vatapatra, sucking your toe at the time of dissolution. For what purpose? In this way, the people of the world who are accustomed to caring for children can meditate on me. So, he's telling that so that people who are accustomed to caring for their child, in the same way, without much adjustment, they can meditate on me, like that. Thus, that form of the baby is merciful, she's telling, Maya Shishuhu. The sweet pastime suitable for the baby is described. He sucks his big toe, Kararavindena padaravindam mukaravinde viniveshayantam vatasya patrena puteshayanam balam mukundam manasasmarami. That's what she is doing here. All intelligent men will give up other happiness and become submerged in the sweetness of my feet. Thinking that he would like to experience that taste, the baby sucks his toe. what is there in my feet that everyone is trying to approach it. So let me also try to taste what they are tasting. Thinking like that, that baby puts the feet on his mouth and sucks the toe like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, therefore Devahuti suggests, your lying down within the abdomen of a common woman like me is not so astonishing. You can lie down on the leaf of a banyan tree and float on the water of devastation as a small baby. So the same baby holding all the universes within his abdomen, how can he float on a banyan leaf? It defies all physical laws. It is not very wonderful, therefore, that you can lie down in the abdomen of my body. You teach us that those who are very fond of children within this material world and who therefore enter into marriage to enjoy family life with children can also have the personality of Godhead as their child. And the most wonderful thing is that the Lord himself licks his toe. Since all the great sages and devotees apply all energy and all activities in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there must be some transcendental pleasure in the toes of his lotus feet. The Lord licks his toe to taste the nectar for which the devotees always aspire. Sometimes the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself wonders how much transcendental pleasure is within himself, and in order to taste his own potency, he sometimes takes the position of tasting himself. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, but he appears as a devotee to taste the sweetness of the transcendental mellow in himself, which is tasted by Srimati Radharani, the greatest of all devotees. Like that. That's the internal reason for appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Mother Devahuti continues, Tvam deha tantra prashamaya papmanam nidesha bajam cha vibho vibhutaye yata avataras tavasu karadayas tatayam apyatma patopalabdhaye. O Lord, you become dependent on my body as a baby. Tvam deha tantraha. So it's not that Kapiladev didn't act as a baby. He acted as a child of his mother also, allowing her to experience the Vatsalya bhav. Yata tava sukaradayaha avataraha papmanam prashamaya. Just as you appear in this world in forms like the boar, Matsya Kurma Varahadi avataras, papmanam prashamaya, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkritam, in order to destroy the sin, nidesha bajam vibhutaye, and to make those who follow your instructions prosperous, that is paritranaya sadunam, tata ayam api atmapata upalabdaye, you have appeared to teach the path of jnana and bhakti directed to yourself. So this is dharma samsthapanarthaya. So that's what she is indicating here. That's what you have appeared here for. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya. Like that. So then she continues. This next two verses are quite famous. So it's there as part of your memorization verses also. So she says, Yannamadeya Shravananu Kirtanat Yat Prakvanad Yat Smaranad Apikvachit Shvadopi Sadhyas Savanaya Kalpate Kutappunaste Bhagavannu Darshanat. She's telling, Kutappunaste Bhagavannu Darshanat. This is called Kaimutyanyaya. Means, if this person could experience so much bliss, what then to speak of that person like that? This is called Kaimutya Nyaya. What to speak of? Kimuta Nyaya. So, Kuta Punaste Bhagavannu Darshanat. what to speak of the spiritual advancement of people who can personally take darshan of you, like me, like myself. Shwadaha api, even a person born in a family of dog eaters, sadyaha savanaya kalpate, immediately he becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. How? Kwachit, if just once, yan namadeya shravana, if just once he hears your holy name, anukirtanad, or chants your holy name once, yat prahvanad, or offers obeisances, smaranad, or even remembers. So he says, it doesn't say that yan namadeya shravanad cha anukirtanad cha yat prahvanad cha smaranad. It doesn't say hearing and chanting and offering obeisances and remembering. He says, or one of these also if he does once, then shvadopi sadyah savanaya kalpate, even a dog eater becomes immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices. So in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami quotes this verse as a proof for, anyone knows? Where in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu does this verse appear? In Kleshagni, he defines Klesha. Klesha means avidya, bijam, then papam. And papam is divided into prarabdha karma, aprarabdha karma. So, how bhakti destroys prarabdha karma? In explaining that, this verse is quoted by Rupa Goswami. To establish how bhakti destroys prarabdha karma. So, prarabdha karma means that which one has to experience in this lifetime. That's the technically proper definition of prarabdha karma. So, that could manifest in a few years down the line also. So, that is still considered prarabdha karma. So, prarabdha karma in the strictest sense means any karma that you would you have to experience in this particular lifetime is defined as prarabdha karma. So here he says that shvadopi sadyah savanaya kalpate, a dog eater will remain a dog eater throughout his life. In the sense, he need not be eating dogs, but he can't change his parents. If the parents were chandalas, his brothers, sisters, they were chandalas, he can't change them. So that is called his prarabdha karma. In that particular life, he has to remain a chandala. So he says, shvadopi sadyah savanaya kalpate. Immediately a dog eating person becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Okay. This is a very interesting verse. And there is an elaborate commentary on this. We will try to understand a few points about this. Before that, Srila Vishnachakra Thakur says here, by seeing you, the world becomes most fortunate. This is expressed through the method of Kaimutya Nyaya. What to speak of? Savanaya Kalpate means he becomes worshipable like a Brahmana who performs Soma sacrifice. So Chandala is criticized, or he is condemned because of his lack of good qualities which are present in a Brahmana who is qualified to perform Soma sacrifice. So here Vishnachakra Thakur explains, shvadopi sadyah savanaya kalpate does not mean he chants Krishna and then immediately takes the the sacrificial ladle and starts performing the sacrifices. It means shvadopi sadyah savanaya kalpate means he becomes immediately endowed with those qualities which are present in a Brahmana, but he still cannot perform the sacrifice. This is where we are going to see a few points from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, where it is elaborated a little bit. So in this section on Bhakti destroys Prarabdha Karma, so quoting this verse, it is commented upon in this way. Shwadaha does not refer to a person who accidentally ate dog flesh. So such a person is not mentioned here. So this is Shwadaha means present tense. Therefore, Shwada refers to a person who is habituated to cooking and eating dogs. It's not talking about accidental eating. Like once my aunt was sharing with me that once they went to Singapore, where they were taken to a restaurant where you know items were there, they were notified which are the vegetarian items, which are non-vegetarian, but they interestingly saw one item which was inappropriately kept in the non-vegetarian section, or that's what they thought. You know, there is something called amba haldi. So it has a flavor like mango, but it looks like, you know, haldi. So they saw a bowl of that nicely chopped and kept in a bowl, but it was inappropriately kept in the non-vegetarian section. So they thought, oh, this must be wrong. So they took it and they ate. And it was not amba haldi, it was some seafood. Of course, they spit it out and washed their mouth. But so here, Shwadaha does not refer to a person who accidentally ate flesh once. Not like that. So therefore, Shwadaha refers to one who is born in a family of meat eaters, habituated to eating meat, relishing meat, craving for it, you know, that category of people. Such a person, by performing any one of the devotional limbs as mentioned above, destroys these prarabdha karmas which have produced this low birth, which prevents him from performing sacrifices. Because of his low birth, and low birth means what? Because in his previous birth, he did not show a natural inclination for high quality activities. So therefore, it was arranged that he take birth in a family where such an inclination is all right. So that's what is law of karma. Also, performance of bhakti also creates the pious credits and qualities needed for performing sacrifices. So whatever is the pious credits needed to perform the sacrifices, he gets that. Whatever is the good quality needed, brahmanical qualities also, he develops. But he may not immediately start speaking in a brahmanical language. He may not immediately start quoting all the Vedic mantras that are needed for performing the sacrifices. So basically, the shishtachar that is needed to perform the sacrifice, he may not have. So therefore, he cannot perform the sacrifice. But all the good qualities because of which the Brahmana is allowed to perform that sacrifice, he develops those good qualities by his practice of bhakti. The same way, a Brahmana, because of good qualities, a living entity takes birth in a Brahmana family. He gets an opportunity to take birth. So he may have the good qualities, but if he is not trained, like for example, if you take the traditional Sri Vaishnava system, if anyone has to do temple worship, temple deity worship, they have to have at least 15 years of Gurukul training. 8 years they are trained in deity worship, 7 years they are trained in their Divya Prabandham studies. So 15 years later, they are qualified to enter into the temple room to worship the deities. So, let's say a child is born in such a family, has naturally, he possesses those qualities, but if he did not go to the Gurukul to get trained properly in performing deity worship, then even a Brahmana child cannot perform these sacrifices. So, that does not, but still, guna-wise, he is definitely a Brahmana. So, what is mentioned here is, when one takes up to the path of bhakti sincerely, then he immediately develops those qualities. But if training is not there, and certain things can be, one can pick it up only at a, only in the childhood. Because when a living entity grows, certain aspects of the gross and subtle body are very receptive and active during a very young age. Like for example, the rote memory. Rote memory means like mugging, tables and all that. 1 1s are 1 1 2s are 2 and so on. That kind of rote memory is very strong in the childhood. So they can memorize shlokas after shlokas like that. Dharma kshetre kurukshetre, dharma kshetre kurukshetre, dharma kshetre kurukshetre, samaveda yoyotsava. Like that they can memorize like that without understanding anything about it. But you try doing it now, you may manage to memorize, but you will forget it immediately. Because in beyond 15, 16 years old, the analytical side of the mind becomes, of the brain, or whatever you may want to call, becomes more active. So, for you, for me, if I don't understand the meaning of a particular shloka, I cannot memorize it at all. Unless it is put to a nice music or tune and I keep hearing it. Like that's how probably we all memorize Brahma Samhita and things like that. Maybe we still don't know the meaning of many of those Brahma Samhita verses, but we memorized. But let's say if just the words of the Brahma Samhita were there, it was not put to any tune. How many of us can memorize if we don't know the meaning of it? So now, if we have to memorize, we have to know the meaning. And then it becomes easy to memorize. So certain things, certain capabilities are there and certain things have to be inculcated in the childhood only. Or it is much more easier to be inculcated in the childhood. So this kind of Vedic deity worship or performance of sacrifices and all, because this person has not learnt it from the childhood, he cannot do. That's what we are going to see now. But just like a Brahmana, a dog eater also has to undergo proper Vedic training and second initiation in order to perform sacrifice. The purpose of this verse is not to advocate his immediate performance of sacrifices. This does not say, Sakrit, once you have chanted, so okay, now you pick up the ladle, here is your kusha mat, and this is the sacrificial arena, you can start the sacrifice. That's not what is being advocated here. But in order to undergo second initiation, one should have taken the Vedic initiation and learned the Vedas from a very young age. But the dog eater has missed it. Therefore, if he wants to perform Vedic sacrifices, which if one has developed a Shraddha for pure devotional service, he would not have such desires. He would have a desire to perform Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, but not necessarily some, you know, I really feel like, I should be performing this Vedic sacrifices of pouring ghee into the sacrificial fire. You know, that kind of desires one may not possess. Therefore, if he wants to perform Vedic sacrifices, he has to wait for one more birth. because of his lack of proper conduct or shishtachara at the young age, while he was still a dog eater. So at the age when he must have been trained in these things, he spent engaging in not so favorable activities, so that age has left. So he cannot perform sacrifices, but that does not mean that he cannot progress in spiritual life. These two are different things. He may not get the privilege of performing certain activities, but if he actually gets the seed of devotion, he may not consider it to be a very privileged activity anymore. So he may think that, I feel privileged that I have the opportunity to chant the holy names. I feel privileged because I chant to hear Krishna Katha. I feel privileged because I get an opportunity to take darshan of the deities. So the activities that he starts to cherish are purely devotional activities only. So that's what is indicated here. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that even such a person, when he undergoes Vaishnava Diksha, he surpasses second birth. In the sense that not only does he get Brahminical qualities, but he gets much more than that. So Savanaya Kalpate also means that he should be given the respect due to a qualified person. So one should not say that I know who he was. I know his childhood, what all he did. So now that he is holding the japa bag and chanting Hare Krishna, you know, todi ye bahut bada Vaishnav ban gaya. You know, one should not claim like that. So Savanaya Kalpate means he may not perform the Vedic sacrifices, but the respect that is due to a qualified Brahmana should be given to that person. But one might still ask. But still, how can you say that the prarabdha karma is destroyed? He still has the same body. He still has the same body. It means sinful reactions due to bad birth in the form of acquisition of bad qualities and suffering are removed immediately. So those bad qualities of, you know, because of, you know, that would naturally come as a part of that birth, that is gone. But the birth itself cannot be changed from one parent to another. That does not mean the next day he wakes up and in his house he sees different parents who are from a Brahmana family. Not like that. But the bad qualities are definitely destroyed by bhakti. That's what it means. Srila Vishnachakra Thakur adds that such a low-born practitioner of bhakti does not perform sacrifice not because of his lack of qualification, but because he has no faith in them, as he is endowed with pure bhakti. So just like Bharat Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj, it is described that they would use to perform all these other sacrifices, but they would have no Shraddha in it. They firmly believed that my progress in spiritual life is dependent on my practice of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam only, and not these Ashwamedha Yajna and all these other Yajnas. But still, in order to set the right example for the people who may not have qualification for pure devotional service, they used to perform those sacrifices. And about Ambarish Maharaj, it is mentioned that he never used to personally perform it also. He used to engage some Advaryu priests, proxy. So the Advaryu priest used to perform the sacrifice on behalf of the Yajaman, which is allowed. So he would outsource that to the Advaryu priest and he would do it. Whereas he would be sitting in his personal temple hall, hearing Krishna Katha, chanting the holy names, worshipping the deities and so on. Savaivana Krishna Padara Vindayor Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane. Like that. So, therefore, Vishnachakra Thakur says that such a person does not perform sacrifice because his ruchi is elsewhere. His Shraddha is elsewhere. For that reason, he does not perform the sacrifice. But a Brahmana devotee might still continue doing the sacrifices to set the right example. If someone is born in a Brahmana family, if people are looking up to him, in today's day and context, not so relevant, but traditionally, they could continue to perform those sacrifices to set the right example for others who may follow his loka sangraha mevapi sampashyan kartum arhasi. So for loka sangraha, to set the right example for people, one may continue to do, provided they don't have faith in that. They have faith in, so therefore, when they don't have faith in that, one neither gets the punya karma, which one has to take another birth to completely destroy, and nor does one gets the papa karma if improperly performed. Any karma kandiya sacrifice, when performed improperly, it gives papa karma or karma in a much modified way, as in the case of, we see the case of Tvashta and Vritrasur. So one does not get, because Krishna says, Ashraddaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayat asaditi uchchate partha nachatat pretyanoiha. So anything done without Shraddha, you will neither get the pious result that you are due. Punya karma also you will not get. If the Advaryu priest or Hota or Udgata does some mistake, and the improper result also, that karma also the Yajaman will not get, because the Yajaman does not have Shraddha in this activity only. So his Shraddha is elsewhere. So that's the result he will get. He will get the Shraddha for his devotional, he will get the results of his devotional activities performed with Shraddha. He will not accrue any pious karma or impious karma through the practice of his karma kandiya sacrifices, which he has to do to set the right example for other people, like that. Anyway, so let's move ahead. So that's the explanation of this verse. Then she continues, Ahobatashvapachato gariyan yajjihvagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuvusashnurarya brahmanuchur nama grinanti yete. She says, Ahobata, how astonishing. Another one important point I wanted to mention, that here in this verse she says, Shvadopi Sadhyah Savanaya Kalpate. A person, the moment he chants, immediately he becomes very qualified. But we have been chanting not once, but for years together, and the qualities don't seem to manifest that immediately actually. They do manifest, but it seems to take time. So, therefore, in order to clarify this, Rupa Goswami quotes the next verse where he says, Aprarabdha phalam papam kutam bijam phalon mukam kramenaiva praliyeta Vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. He says that, this aprarabdha, prarabdha, kutam bijam, all these stages of reactions are destroyed. He says, Krameneva. Kramena means gradually, one after another. Krameneva praliyeta. Gradually it is destroyed. Vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. So now the question is it sadhya or is it krameneva? They both seem to be contradictory. So Jiva Goswami resolves it. He says, you take a bunch of lotus petals, very soft. You take a very sharp needle, pierce it, because the bunch of needles, the bunch of leaves are very soft, at once the needle pierces through the bunch of leaves. So it seems like sadhya, but actually it is kramena. If you slow down that whole process and see, Actually, you will see that needle piercing through one leaf after another. So, if you see the millions of lifetimes the living entity has spent in this material world, suffering the burning miseries of birth and death, then maybe one or two lifetimes that bhakti takes to destroy all that is still sadhya, immediately. But actually, is it that immediate? No. Is it that the moment I chant, immediately I develop all good qualities? No. It is kramena still. Like Prabhupada says, we are so fortunate that we are living at an age when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just came. He says, just came means 5 minutes back. So no, 500 years back. So, and sometimes you may say, why are you so late for the class? So late means 2 years late. No, 10 minutes late. So, like they have a system here. Like if you come, how late you won't get the present? Of 5 minutes. As the class starts, it's taken away. Okay. So even if you are a few minutes late, you know, it's very late. You don't get present for that. So, so the point is, it's all relative. Whether it is sadhyaha or kramenaiva, it's relative. So it takes its kramena, because within a span of one or two lifetimes during which we may practice bhakti to achieve perfection, it happens little slowly. But if you see the, if you expand the time scale, it is sadhyaha immediately, like that. I was just wondering, it took so long for the first question to manifest. And because I was wondering, was some announcement made that, you know, you are asking too many questions? So today I saw no one was asking any question, and I was really, you know, Amal Mahaprabhu Prabhu was conspicuous by his absence today. Oh, he went to Chennai. Okay.
In the scriptures also about the holy name, the same things are given. So the same formula or the same principle applies there also. Like once you chant, all your sins will be gone. So
yeah, principle is same. Yeah.
So there also same means relative.
Relative, yeah.
And even it is told like when you take the pull the cart of Jagannath once, so you will be going back home back to Godhead.
I wanted to touch on that point also. So actually, here once is once with an asterisk there. Conditions apply. That once have to be chanted purely. So therefore, is once wrong? No. Yes. Once chanting has the potential, but that one chanting has to be done purely. And to get to that stage of purity, you know, there is a sadhana bhakti which you gradually practice and come to that stage. But actually, is one holy name so powerful? Definitely yes. Just that it has to be pure, that's all. So then she continues, Aho badashva pajato gariyan yajjihvagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuvushashnurarya brahmana churnama grinanti yete. So she says, Aho bata, how astonishing, shvapachahada, the outcast, yajjihva agre. So now she takes it one step forward. He has just started to chant the holy name, which means he has not even yet completed chanting. That is the meaning of yajjihva agre. The holy name has started to appear on his tongue, at the tip of his tongue. Vartate namatubhyam, your name appears. Ataha gariyan, he becomes the guru. Again, that one holy name is pure holy name. If one is qualified to chant even one Shuddha Naam, definitely he is fit to become a guru. But for that we have to understand what is one pure chanting of one holy name and what it takes to chant one pure holy name. It takes a long time actually. Te nama grinantiye, all those who chant your name, Arya, they become most respectable. Tapaha tepuhu, they have completed all austerities. Juhuvuhu, they have performed all sacrifices. Sasnuhu, they have performed bathing in all holy rivers. Brahmanachur, and they have studied all the Vedas. It does not, see, this is clarified here, which means it might seem like, that person, because he has done all of that, therefore he has become qualified to chant one holy name purely. It might sound like that, but that's not what it means. Doing all these things is a prerequisite to chant one pure holy name. So here it is mentioned, Srila Vishnuacharya Thakur comments, not only the outcast becomes immediately qualified to perform sacrifice, but for a person, even if he is an outcast, if the holy name appears even on the tip of the tongue, that is not even pronounced completely, he becomes qualified to become a Diksha Guru. He can give Diksha. Tubhyam indicates that the chanting should be done with a desire to please the Lord. He also is considered to have completed all the austerities, bathing, etc. All these angas are in the past tense. Tepuhu means past tense. Tepustapa. He has already performed his tapasya. It's all in past tense. But grinanti, nama grinanti is in present tense. He is now going to chant the holy name. Not going to, now he is chanting the holy name. And he has already performed all the austerities. So they chant in the present, but they have completed all the adharangas in the past. This indicates that these devotees are no longer qualified for these activities. Which means their means of progress is no longer this tapasya, sacrifice and all these karma. So nishkama karma or sakama karma, karmakandiya activities or the jnana practice is no longer the means of their elevation. Because they have developed shraddha and bhakti now. So therefore it's all tepustapa, means it's all not needed now. Like that. He then makes further progress to become a qualified Vaishnava, which means that, they have no regard for them. They are a waste of energy. So if someone has received a qualification for performing pure devotional service, then continuing to perform all the other limbs of other practices is just a waste of energy. Like that. Okay. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, as it is stated in the previous verse, a person who has once offenselessly chanted the holy name of God becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. One should not be astonished by this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not disbelieve or think, how by chanting the holy name of the Lord can one become a holy man to be compared to the most elevated Brahmana? This is what offense of the holy name? Which offense? To consider the chanting, the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be an imagination. That is one. And another is to give some interpretations on the holy name of the Lord. Oh, this must not be understood this way. It means it is just to inspire. Ek holy name se todi hota hai. Do you really think, कितना दिन से चैंटिंग कर रहे हैं, एक होली नेम से होता नहीं, वो ऐसा दिया है ताकि पीपल गेट इंस्पायर्ड, बट एक्चुअली इट इज नॉट वन होली नेम. इफ यू स्टार्ट चैंटिंग 64 राउंड्स एवरी डे मे बी इट विल हैपन, बट वन होली नेम से होता नहीं, इट जस्ट टू अट्रैक्ट पीपल. ओ दैट इज गिविंग सम इंटरप्रिटेशंस. और अनदर थिंग इज टू जस्ट थिंक इट इज जस्ट एन एग्जैजरेशन. ऐसा होता नहीं, इट इज गुड वी नो, बट नॉट टू द एक्सटेंड इट इज मेंशनड हियर. दैट इज ऑल्सो अनदर ऑफेंस टू कंसिडर, इट्स एन एग्जैजरेटेड प्रेज ऑफ द होली नेम, नॉट लाइक दैट. टू एराडिकेट सच डाउट्स इन द माइंड्स ऑफ द अनबिलीवर्स, दिस वर्स अफर्म्स that the stage of chanting of the holy name of the Lord is not sudden, but that the chanters have already performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and sacrifices. Already means, again, as we saw, it should be understood in that sense. It's not that only those who have already practiced all of that, they become qualified to chant one pure holy name. It's not like that. It is not very astounding, for no one in this life can chant the holy name of the Lord unless he has passed all lower stages, such as performing the Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, studying the Vedas and practicing good behavior like that of the Aryans. All this must first have been done. Again, should be understood in the right context. Just as a student in a law class is to be understood to have already graduated from general education, anyone who is engaged in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, must have already passed all the lower stages. Must have already passed here means he need not again do all those activities. That's what it means. It is said that those who simply chant the holy name with the tip of the tongue are glorious. One does not even have to chant the holy name and understand the whole procedure, namely the offensive stage, offenseless stage and the pure stage. If the holy name is sounded on the tip of the tongue, that is also sufficient. Okay. But see what Prabhupada writes in the first line of this purport. He says, as it is stated in the previous verse, a person who has once offenselessly chanted the holy name. So that is clarified. So in that context only this sentence also must be understood. Okay, so let's continue. So then one last prayer that Mother Devahuti is going to offer to Kapila Dev now.
Tam tvamaham brahma param pumamsam pratyak srotasyatmani sam vibhavyam svatejasadvasta guna pravaham vande vishnum kapilam veda garbam.
In the last verse that she speaks to Kapila Dev, she addresses him as Kapila. Vande Vishnum Kapilam Veda Garbam, like that. I offer respects to you, Kapila, who are Vishnu. Vishnum Kapilam. Brahma Parampumamsam, you are Brahman, the Supreme Person. Dvasta Gunapravaham, the destroyer of material existence. Swatejasa, by your appearance in this world, Veda Garbam, the shelter of the Vedas. Atmani Sambhibhavyam, who should be the object of meditation of the mind? Pratyak Srotasi. She says that you are the object of meditation of that mind which has withdrawn itself from all material objects. Which means after the absorption in Asad is removed, then one can focus it on meditating on the Sat. Like that. So she is offering respects to Kapila Dev here in this 8th verse. Let's continue. We have another 45 minutes. Okay.
Maitreya Vacha Idito Bhagavanevam Kapilakya Parappuman Vacha Viklayetyaha Mataram Matruvatsalaha.
The Lord Kapila. The Lord called Kapila, Bhagavan Kapilakyah, Parappuman, the Supreme Person, evam iditah, thus being praised by Mother Devahuti, Mataram Aha, he spoke to his mother. Matru Vatsala, out of natural affection for her, for his mother. Aviklavaya Vacha, which choked voice, he spoke to his mother. Kapila Vacha, Margenanena Mataste, Susevieno Dite Name, Astite Na Param Kashtam, Achirad Avarotsyasi. My dear mother, Anena Margena Astitena, if one situates oneself in this practice of path of bhakti, Me Uditena, that I have explained to you, Susevyena, which is very easy to perform actually. Achirad Avarotsyasi Param Kashtam, one can very soon attain the ultimate goal of prema. Param Kashtam means prema. So here, Srila Vishnachakaya Thakur comments, though his mother is a Nitya Siddha devotee, he speaks to her in this way to teach the world. If you practice this, you will achieve prema. So one may use one's logical mind or intelligence and say, oh, if Kapila Dev says, you practice this and you will achieve prema. So what is the logical conclusion? Which means she already does not have prema. So therefore, Srila Vishnachakaya Thakur clarifies, what to speak of achieving prema? She is a Nitya Siddha devotee. She always has prema. So therefore, he is speaking like this to her just to teach the world. That is clarified. Srila Prabhupada says in this purport here, devotional service is so perfect that simply by following the rules and regulations and executing them under the direction of the spiritual master, one is liberated, as it is said herein, from the clutches of Maya, even in this body. In other yogic processes or in empiric philosophical speculation, one is never certain whether or not he is at the perfectional stage. But in the discharge of devotional service, if one has unflinching faith in the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master and follows the rules and regulations, he is sure to be liberated even within this present body. What is the verse? No. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata gurau tasyeva hi katito hyartah prakashante mahatmanah. Like that. Let's continue. Shraddhasvaitan matam mahyam jushtam yad brahma vadibihi yenamam abayam yaya mrityum mrichantya tadvidah. So Kapila Dev says, yetad matam mahyam shraddhasva. Please have faith in my instructions. Shraddhasva. Jushtam yad brahma vadibihi. Why you should have faith? Because the knowers of truth, they have faith in this. As Krishna says, Rishibir Bahuda Gitam Chandobir Vividai Pratak Brahma Sutra Pades Chaiva Hetu Madbir Vinishchitaihi. After speaking about the Purushan Prakriti, he says, oh, I am not speaking something new. If you want more details about it, you know, Rishibir Bahuda Gitam, the many Rishis have compiled the Upanishads and other literatures, the Vedas, it is mentioned, the Brahma Sutra that Vyasadeva has compiled. In that, all these details are there, you can always refer. So here, Kapila Dev says that, Jushtam yad Brahma Vadibihi, you can follow this because the great rishis also, they have practiced it. Like that. Mrityum ruchant atadvidaha. Those who do not know this will attain death. Which means, if you follow this, you will attain liberation. Like that. So this is the last verse spoken by Kapila Dev to Mother Devahuti. Now he is going to take leave.
మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ ఇతి ప్రదర్శ్య భగవాన్ సతీం తామాత్మనో గతిం స్వమాత్రా బ్రహ్మవాదిన్యా కపిలోనుమతో యయౌ.
ఇతి సతీం ప్రదర్శ్య, హ్యావింగ్ షోన్ ఇస్ మదర్ ఆత్మనో గతిం ది పాత్ ఆఫ్ ద సోల్, భగవాన్ కపిల, కపిల ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్, అనుమత, హీ టుక్ పర్మిషన్ ఫ్రమ్ హిస్ మదర్, బ్రహ్మవాదిన్యా స్వమాత్ర, హీ టుక్ పర్మిషన్ ఫ్రమ్ హిస్ మదర్ హూ న్యూ ద ట్రూత్ అబౌట్ అవర్ సన్, యయౌ అండ్ హీ డిపార్టెడ్. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ రైట్స్ హియర్ ఇన్ ద పర్పోర్ట్, ద మిషన్ ఆఫ్ ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ కపిల వాస్ టు డిస్ట్రిబ్యూట్ ద ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ సాంఖ్య ఫిలాసఫీ విచ్ ఇస్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. Having imparted that knowledge to his mother and through his mother to the world, Kapiladev had no more need to stay at home. So he took permission from his mother and left. Apparently, he left home for spiritual realization. Although he has nothing to realize spiritually because he himself is the person to be spiritually realized. Therefore, this is an example set by the Supreme Lord while acting like an ordinary human being so that others might learn from him. He could of course have stayed with his mother, but he indicated that there was no need to stay with the family. It is best to remain alone as a brahmachari, sannyasi or vanaprastha and cultivate Krishna consciousness throughout one's whole life. Those who are unable to remain alone are given license to live in the household life with wife and children, not for sense gratification, but for cultivation of Krishna consciousness.
సచాపి తన యోక్తేన యోగాదేశేన యోగయుక్ తస్మిన్ ఆశ్రమ ఆపీడే సరస్వత్యాః సమాహిత.
యోగ ఆదేశేన, బై ఫాలోయింగ్ ద ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి, తనయ ఉక్తేన విచ్ వాస్ స్పోకన్ బై హర్ సన్, యోగయుక్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ భక్తి, సా సమాహిత, షీ బికేమ్ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ సమాధి, తస్మిన్ ఆశ్రమ, ఇన్ దట్ ఆశ్రమ, సరస్వత్యాహ ఆపీడే విచ్ వాస్ లైక్ అ ఫ్లవర్ క్రౌన్ ఆన్ ది సరస్వతి రివర్. సో ఆఫ్టర్ ద సన్ లెఫ్ట్ షీ ఎంగేజ్డ్, షీ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ హర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి విచ్ వాస్ టాట్ బై హర్ సన్ కపిలదేవ్. లెట్స్ కంటిన్యూ. ఓకే, so here Prabhupada writes, Devahuti did not leave her house because it is never recommended for a woman to leave her home. She is dependent. The very example of Devahuti was that when she was not married, she was under the care of her father, Swayambhuva Manu. And then Swayambhuva Manu gave her to Kardam Muni in charity. She was under the care of her husband in her youth and then her son. Kapila Muni was born. As soon as her son grew up, her husband left home. And similarly, the son, after discharging his duty towards his mother, he also left. She could also have left home, but she did not. Rather, she remained at home and began to practice Bhakti Yoga as it was instructed by her great son, Kapila Muni. And because of her practice of Bhakti Yoga, the entire home became just like a flower crown on River Saraswati. So Prabhupada writes, the ashram now looked like a flower crown on River Saraswati, because Devahuti was staying there practicing bhakti as taught by Kapiladev, like that.
Abhikshnava gaha kapishan jatilan kutilalakan atmanam chogra tapasa bibarti chirinam krisham.
Her locks of hair became matted and grey from repeated bathing. Her body clothed in rags became thin because of severe austerities. So, Prabhupada writes here, it is the practice of the yogi, brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi to bathe at least 3 times a day. Early in the morning, during noontime and in the evening. These principles are strictly followed even by some grihasthas, especially brahmanas, who are always elevated in spiritual consciousness. Devahuti was a king's daughter and almost a king's wife also. Although Kardamuni was not a king, But by his yogic mystic power, he accommodated Devahuti very comfortably in a nice palace with maid servants and all opulence. But since she had learned austerity even in the presence of her husband, there was no difficulty for her to be austere. Still, because her body underwent severe austerity after the departure of her husband and son, she became thin. To be too fat is not very good for spiritually advanced life. Rather, one should reduce, because if one becomes fat, it is an impediment to progress in spiritual understanding. One should be careful not to eat too much, sleep too much, or remain in a comfortable position. Voluntarily accepting some penances and difficulties, one should take less food and less sleep. These are the procedures for practicing any kind of yoga, whether bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, or hatha yoga.
Prajapatehe kardamasya tapo yoga vijrambitam swagarhastyam anaupamayam prartyam vaimanikairapi.
The house kardama produced through the austerities of yoga was unequaled and desired by the devatas. So what Devahuti left behind to embrace the path of bhakti is given to establish the glory of the path of devotional service.
Payafena nibashaya danta rukma parichadaha asanani cha haimani susparshastra susparshastaranani cha.
The ivory beds resembling the foam of milk had gold coverings. The chairs were made of gold with soft cushions.
Swachaspatika kodyeshu mahamarakateshu cha ratna pradipa abhanti lalana ratna samyutaha.
Jewel lamps shone on clear crystal walls decorated with large emeralds. The women were decorated with jewels.
Grihodhyanam kusumitaihi ramyam bahu amaradrumaihi kojad vihanga mitunam gayan mattam madhuvratam.
The garden was made beautiful with many flowering celestial trees, with pairs of singing birds and intoxicated humming bees.
Yatra pravishtam atmanam vibudanucharajaguhu vapyamutpala gandinyam kardamenopalalitam.
When Devahuti, under the care of Kardama, would enter the pond fragrant with lotus, the devata's assistants glorified her.
Hitva tad ipsitatamam apyakhandala yoshitam kinchichakara vadanam putra vishleshanatura.
Tad hitva, all this description of that wonderful ashram of Kardam Muni is given to indicate what she gave up to practice bhakti.
Tad hitva akandala yoshitam api ipsitatamam.
Giving up that house which is most desirable even to the wives of Indra.
Kinchit chakara vadanam.
Devahuti became silent, overcome with grief.
Putra vishleshana atura.
Pained by the absence of her son, she became silent and overcome with grief. And became willing to give up all that. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport.
Devahuti was not at all sorry at giving up her material comforts, but she was very much aggrieved at the separation of her son. It may be questioned here that if Devahuti was not at all sorry to give up the material comforts of life, then why was she so sorry about losing her son? Why was she so attached to her son? The answer is explained in the next verse. He was not an ordinary son. Her son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can give up material attachment, therefore, only when one has attachment for the Supreme Person. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Param drishtva nivartate. Only when one actually has some taste for spiritual existence, can he be reluctant to follow the materialistic way of life. Otherwise,
You can't just ask someone to give it up. It's not possible. Like that.
Vanam pravrajite patya apatya virahatura gyata tatvapya bonnashte vatse gauriva vatsala.
Since her husband had also left home, she became aggrieved with separation from her son. Even though she knew the truth, she was like a cow aggrieved when losing a calf.
Okay, let's move on. Tamevadhyayati devam apatyam kapilam harim babuva chirato vatsa nisprahata drishe grihe.
O Vidura, meditating on her son Kapila, the Supreme Lord, she quickly became detached from that opulent house. Srila Prabhupada writes, here is a practical example of how one can elevate oneself in spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness. Kapila Dev is Krishna and he appeared as the son of Devahuti. After Kapila Dev left home, Devahuti was absorbed in thought of him and thus she was always Krishna conscious. Her constant situation in Krishna consciousness enabled her to be detached from her hearth and home. Unless we are able to transfer our attachment to the Supreme Lord, there is no possibility of becoming freed from material attachment. The Srimad Bhagavatam therefore confirms that it is not possible for one to become liberated by cultivation of empiric philosophical speculation. Simply knowing that one is not matter but spirit soul or Brahman does not purify one's intelligence. Matlab, completely. Even if the impersonalist reaches the highest platform of spiritual realization, he falls down again to material attachment because of not being situated in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. Like that. The devotees adopt the devotional process, hearing about the Supreme Lord's pastimes and glorifying his activities, and thereby always remembering his beautiful eternal form. By rendering service, becoming his friend or his servant, and offering him everything that one possesses, one is able to enter into the kingdom of God. As it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Tato mam tattvato gyatva, after discharging pure devotional service, one can understand the Supreme Lord in fact and thus become eligible to enter into his association in one of the spiritual planets. Like that.
Dhyayati bhagavadrupam yadaha dhyana gocharam suta prasanna vadanam samasta vyasta chintaya.
Dhyayati bhagavadrupam, she meditated on the form of the Supreme Lord. Dhyana gocharam, which was fit to be meditated upon. Prasanna vadanam, with smiling face. Yad aha sutaha, that Lord which was described by Kapila Dev. Where? Huh? 28th chapter. There he had described. Yad aha sutaha samasta vyasta chintaya. What is the meaning of samasta vyasta chintaya? What did you say? Dharana and dhyana. Samasta means thinking of his whole form and vyasta is meditating on the parts. Dharana and dhyana. But of course this dharana and dhyana is not part of Ashtanga yoga. It is bhakti yoga only actually. Okay, let's continue.
Bhakti pravaha yogena vairagyena baliyasa yuktanushthana jatena jnanena brahma hetuna vishuddhena tadatmanam atmana vishvato mukam svanubhutyatirobhuta maya guna visheshanam brahmanyavastitamatir bhagavatyatma samshraye nivritta jiva patitvat kshina kleshapta nirvritihi.
By bhakti yoga which flows like a current, by strong renunciation, vairagyena baliyasa, how did she get that vairagya? Yukta anushthana jatena, produced from proper practice of bhakti. Jnanena Brahma Hetuna, by knowledge causing the realization of the Lord. Vishuddhena Atmanam, by purity of mind. Tada Atmanam, at that time she saw the Supreme Lord. Vishvatomukam, who pervades in all direction. Tirobhuta Maya Guna Visheshanam, and is devoid of material qualities. Through personal realization. Sva Anubhutya. So, by this practice of bhakti, she realized the Supreme Lord. In essence, that's what is mentioned here. Her mind became fixed in Brahman, Bhagavan and Paramatma. Which means, in Bhagavan, and as a result, in Brahman and Paramatma, because they being his partial representations. And she attained bliss and destruction of suffering because of destroying samsara. Here, Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur comments here. He says, by mentioning Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, the goals of the Jnani, Yogi and Devotee are mentioned. Bhakti Pravaha Yogena indicates Bhava Bhakti. So, Bhakti Pravaha Yogena means Bhakti Yoga which flows like a current. Like a current means natural flow. Nimnamapa Ivaswayam, just like water naturally flows from a higher region to a lower region. So, spontaneous. Bhakti Pravaha Yogena indicates spontaneous devotional service or Bhava Bhakti. But if water is on a flat place, it will not flow naturally. But if you give an external impetus, then it will flow. Like if you take a blower and start blowing some air on that water in the ground, it will start flowing. Because flowing is its nature, it will flow. But it may not spontaneously flow. So spontaneous flow means that is bhava and prema bhakti. So like that. So therefore bhakti, but sadhana bhakti is water on the ground. It has the potential to flow, but it needs some impetus. That impetus either comes through vidhi or raga. So when that external impetus is there, then it will flow. But it is not spontaneous flow. So raganuga bhakti is also not spontaneous. Spontaneous means bhava and prema only. So that's what. See, bhava and prema is like to reach the stage of bhava and prema, you have two roots. One is the vaidhi root, another is the raganuga root. Both are sadhana bhakti only. So the difference is that for a vaidhi sadhaka, the impetus for that practice comes from the scriptures. Whereas for a raganuga sadhaka, the impetus for practicing the sadhana comes from a particular vrajavasi. Seeing him, he gets inspired to perform. So, but both are practitioners only. So therefore, so by practice of vaidhi, you can go from bhajana kriya, anarthanavritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti and bhava. Or through the raganuga path also, you can similarly reach the stage of bhava. So, both are not spontaneous devotional service. So, if you see, Prabhupada titles the 17th chapter of NOD only as spontaneous devotional service. It is bhava, 17th and 18th, it talks about bhava. But there is a sense in which raganuga is also spontaneous. I think I touched upon it the other day. Raganuga is spontaneous in the sense there is a natural attraction to the vraja type of bhakti. that attraction is spontaneous. But attraction to Krishna is not spontaneous. So, they are getting an impetus from a live example rather than the injunctions of the scriptures. So, in that sense, there is a sense in which Raganuga is spontaneous, but not in the sense in which Bhava and Prema are spontaneous. They are spontaneous because they naturally, you know, that affection is quite natural for them. But in Raganuga, it's still not yet natural. Like that. Yeah. With ecstasy, yeah. No. In Raganuga, that's why I explained, the sense in which Bhava Bhakti is spontaneous and the sense in which Raganuga Bhakti is spontaneous is totally different. It's different spontaneity. It's not the same. Okay. So, let's continue.
Nityaroda samadhitvat paravritta guna brahma nasasmarata dhatmanam swapne drishtam ivottitah.
Because of attaining continuous samadhi and being free of wandering towards sense objects, she did not remember her body, just as a person on waking does not remember what happened in a dream. Like that. So, which means she completely, she completely transcended the bodily platform. Okay, let's move on.
Taddeha paratapposho pyakrishas chadya sambhavat babau malair avachanna sadhoma iva pavakah.
Her body was cared for by the maidens created by Kardama, and because of no anxieties, she was not thin. Sometimes people eat a lot, but at the same time they remain thin also, because, you know, one of the reasons could be that, you know, because of their mind is filled with anxieties, the nutrition does not stick to their body only. Like we see this in the case of the Avadhut Brahmana, who was met by Prahlad Maharaj also. That's one of the things that he asked. Please don't mind in my asking. You seem to be here lying down throughout the day, but how is it that you still are quite stout and healthy? So how do I understand this? Like that. Though covered by dirt, her body shone like a fire covered by smoke. Let's continue.
Swangam tapo yogamayam muktakesham gatambaram daivaguptam na bubude vasudeva pravishtadihi.
Completely absorbed in Vasudev, she was not aware that her body, engaged in austerity and yoga with unbound hair and absence of clothing, was protected by the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport. In this verse, the word Daiva Guptam, protected by the Supreme Lord, is very significant. Once one surrenders into the service of the Lord takes charge of the maintenance of the devotee's body. As he says, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. And there is no need of anxiety for its protection. It is said in the second chapter that a fully surrendered soul has no anxiety about the maintenance of his body. Where in the second chapter of second canto it is mentioned? Anyone can recollect? Chiranikim patinasanti dishanti biksham. In those series of verses, two verses it is mentioned. The Supreme Lord takes care of the maintenance of innumerable species of body. Therefore, one who fully engages in his service will not go unprotected by the Supreme Lord. As King Kulashekar says in one of his prayers, Mabir mandamano vichintya bahuda yamis chiramyatana naivami prabhavanti paparipava swami nanu shridara alasyam vyapaniya bhakti sulabam dhyayasva narayanam lokasya visanapanodana karo dasasya kimnakshama. So he says that, oh mandamano, oh dull mind, ma bihi, do not become unnecessarily anxious and fearful. Yamis chiram yatana, thinking about how you will have to suffer in the abode of Yamaraj for all the sinful activities that you have performed. Mabir mandamano vichintya bahuda yamis chiram yatana. Naivami prabhavanti paparipava swami nanu shridhara. Don't you know about your master Shridhara? Who is he? Papa Ripava. He is the avowed enemy of all the sins. And don't you know that he is your master? Alasyam vyapaniya bhakti sulabam. All you need to do, instead of wasting your time fearing about your suffering, give up this laziness, get up and perform bhakti. Sulabam, it is so easy to perform. Dhyayasva Narayanam, all you need to do is to meditate on the form of the Lord, Narayan. Lokasya vyasanapanodanakaro dasasya kimnakshama. He is taking care of the maintenance of all the living entities who are not serving him at all. Some of them are inimical to him. Still, they are taken care. Dasasya kim nakshama, what he will not do to his own servant. So alasyam vyapaniya, just give up this laziness and perform bhakti. So Krishna will take care. The same thing Prabhupada is mentioning here, that the Supreme Lord takes care of maintenance of innumerable species of bodies. Therefore, one who fully engages in his devotional service will not go unprotected by the Supreme Lord. Like that.
Evam sa kapiloktena margena chiratapparam atmanam brahma nirvanam bhagavantam avapaha.
By the method taught by Kapila, she quickly attained the Supreme Lord Bhagavan, the Supreme Soul. This attainment included liberation. One should not think that originally she asked for liberation only. Finally, did she get what she asked for or not? So that is clarified by Maitreya. She also got liberation. And apart from that, she attained the Supreme Lord's abode, like that. As we saw, you know, sometimes it is mentioned that in the 25th chapter, there is a verse that comes, I am not able to recollect. That Bhakti Devi provides liberation, even though it may not be desired by the devotee, like that. I'll just try to find that out. So, thirty-sixth verse, 25th chapter. Tair darshaniya vayavair udara vilasa hasekshita vamasuktaihi hritatmano hrita pranamscha bhaktir anichatome gatim anvims prayungte. Anichatome, even though the devotee may not desire liberation, but Bhakti Devi gives it to him. So one may say, why? If he doesn't desire it, why should Bhakti Devi give it to him? So Vishnu Jagadagur clarifies that, see, for someone, mukti may be the highest conception of highest perfection. So if someone comes and he asks, what do you have? I have prema. You don't have mukti. Because his understanding of highest perfection is mukti. So just to make a show, sometimes it is mentioned that when someone is distributing diamonds and rubies, someone whose understanding of highest wealth is gold, you say, you are just distributing some stones, are you not distributing some gold? They say, okay, take gold also. Like that. So sometimes it is mentioned that Bhakti Devi makes a show of offering liberation also to the devotee, but she offers him much more than that. That is prema. But just so that some people whose highest understanding of perfection is mukti, they also feel satisfied. Okay, bhakti can give mukti also. Like that.
Tadvirasit punyatamam kshetram trailokya vishrutam namna siddhapadam yatra sasam siddhim upeyushi.
O Vidura, that place called Siddhapada, where she attained perfection, is most pure and famous in the three worlds. Where she attained perfection. That place is called Siddhapada. Anyone knows where it is? Northwest. Acha. No, this is... Acha. From here, Kapiladeva went to Ganga Sagar. Okay, yeah.
Tasyastadyoga viduta martyam martyam abhut sarit srotasam pravara saumya siddhida siddha sevita.
Devahuti's body, purified of material dhatus by bhakti yoga, became a river. So her body became a river. Does it remind you of someone else? Narottam Das Thakur. His body merged with the Padma River, right? Or what exactly happened? It became milk, and it was put in the Padma River like that. That river is called Srotasam Pravara, the best amongst the rivers. Siddhida Siddha Sevita, bestowing perfection and worship by perfected souls. Acha, it's called Siddhapur.
Okay.
So then, Kapilopi Mahayogi Bhagavan Piturashramat Mataram Samanugnyapya Pragudichim Disham Disham Yayau. The great yogi Kapila, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Mataram Samanugnyapya, taking permission from his mother, Piturashramat Yayau, he departed from his father's hermitage. Prag Udichim Disham. Prag means, first he went in the northern direction. And of course he went in the eastern direction to Ganga Sagar. So anyone who is leaving home for to embrace the path of renunciation or sannyas must first walk in the northern direction. That is the tradition. Eventually, even though he may want to go in the east or western direction, but it is tradition that he first walks in the northern direction like that. So, Srila Vishnachakita Thakur comments here. According to Sadachar, he first went north. Later, he took up permanent residence at Ganga Sagar, which is in the eastern direction.
Siddhacharana Gandharvair Munibhischapsaro Ganaihi Stoyamana Samudrena Dattarhana Niketanaha.
Praised by the Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Sages and Apsaras, he was given a place as an offering by the ocean personified. So, ocean personified welcomed Kapiladeva and he said, you please take this place like that. Like this last yatra. So some of you would have had the opportunity to go to Ganga Sagar. Prabhupada writes here. It is understood that Kapila Muni first went towards the Himalayas and traced the course of the river Ganga. and he again came to the delta of Ganga at the sea, now known as the Bay of Bengal. The ocean gave him residence at a place still known as Ganga Sagar, where the river Ganges meets the sea. The place is called Ganga Sagar Tirtha, and even today people gather there to offer respects to Kapila Dev, the original author of the Sankhya system of philosophy. Unfortunately, this Sankhya system has been misrepresented by an impostor who is also named Kapila. But that other system of philosophy does not tally with anything described in the Sankhya of Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, it quite closely tallies in as long as it talks about the 24 elements. But other than that, you know, discussion on the other yogic processes to please the Lord, establish a relationship with the Lord, none of that is there. Only the 26th chapter to some extent matches with what actually Kapila Dev is teaching here.
आस्ते योगं समास्ताय सांख्याचार्यैर अभिष्टुतः त्रयाणामपि लोकानां उपशान्त्यै समाहितः.
Taking shelter of bhakti yoga and worship by the teachers of Sankhya, he still remains there, fixed in samadhi for the peace of the three worlds. So he's still there.
एतन् निगदितं तात यत् पृष्टोऽहं तवानग कपिलस्य च संवादो Devahutyascha Pavanaha.
O sinless Vidura, as requested by you, I have spoken about the pure conversation between Kapila and Devahuti. Last verse.
Yayidam, yayidam, yayidam manushrinoti yobidatte Kapila munerma matam atmak yoga guhyam Bhagavati kritadi suparna ketav उपलभते भगवत पदारविंदम
ययदम कपिलमुनेर मतम अनुश्रणोति. He who hears the teachings of Lord Kapila, Atma Yoga Guhyam, containing the secret of meditation on the Lord, Yaha Abhidatte, or he who teaches it, Bhagavati Kritadihi, concentrating his mind on the Lord, Suparna Ketav, whose emblem is Garuda, Upalabate Bhagavat Padaravindam. Second time the same Falashruti is coming. Once spoken by Kapiladev himself to Mother Devahuti, and now spoken by, repeated by Maitreya to Vidura. So one who hears this or speaks this attains the Lord's lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the narration of Kapila Dev and his mother Devahuti is so perfect and transcendental that even if one only hears or reads this description, he achieves the highest perfectional goal of life, for he engages in the loving service of the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. There is no doubt that Devahuti, who had the Supreme Lord as her son and who followed the instructions of Kapila Dev so nicely, attained the highest perfection of human life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 33rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Activities of Kapila. End of the third canto. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.